Today we live in an age that Jesus described in Matthew 24. And let's see how this has come about, and let's see how this is working. I don't know how many of you watched the news last night, but it was absolutely incredible. All the lies coming through, you know, it's no longer they talk out of both sides of their mouths. They cut it in two and they have eight things they're all saying, you know. And how they bring things out and so forth. And truth cannot be heard. It's just something. And it's been increasing. Because, see, we're going to find out that this is a result of the modern lawless grace that's preached in Christianity. So here, Matthew 24 and verse 12, Jesus said, well, let's go back to verse 10. And then shall many be led into sin. And it certainly is what's happening today. People are just led into sin. They're not taught anything in school. They're all reared on emotion and sex in school. And like we were talking at lunch, that if the electricity goes out, no one knows how to count change. Okay? Everyone thinks they're smart and educated because they have a smartphone. Well, turn it off and you don't know anything. Okay? Many are led into sin. They're gullible. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, this means the majority. Now, sometimes you have to kind of sit back, you know, have you ever wondered, and some people probably have wondered this, why are there so few really true Christians? And the answer is, because those who are supposed to teach the truth do not teach the truth. So what does that lead to? And because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Now, you've heard of the old story of taking a penny and doubling it every day for a month, and at the end of the month you'd end up with $1,200,000. That's the way that lawlessness is multiplied. Now, what is lawlessness? Now, there are several forms of lawlessness, but they all count. Where lawlessness starts is, and so this is to finish up grace upon grace. So let's come here to Romans, the sixth chapter, and I hope you've been following along with the sermons on grace upon grace. Because after being in the church so many years, we finally have understood what it means to be under law and then what it means to be under grace. Now let's pick it up here in verse 14. For sin shall not rule over you because you are not under law but under grace. Now under law means this. Every human being in the world is under law to God. That's how God deals with them. He doesn't deal with them directly. He doesn't deal with them personally. They're under law. And Paul describes it just across the page in Romans 7 and verse 1. Are you ignorant, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know law, that the law rules over a man for as long a time as he may live. Now, if the law rules over you, you're what? You're under law. And every human being in the world is under law and subject to law. The laws that God has created for our conduct, our bodies, our environment, how we get along with each other, and God judges them according to his law. Chapter 3 says, come over here and let's read it. Chapter 3, verse 19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, have all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Is that a scripture? Yes. If all have sinned, that means what? All have transgressed the law, correct? And if all have transgressed the law, that means they're all under the law, because if there is no law, there's no sin. See? Now, to be under grace, let's come back here to Romans, the sixth chapter. Under grace is an entirely different thing than what Christianity of this world has understood it as. And the reason they have misunderstood it is because they do not know anything about Judaism and the problems of works of law. Now, how many have the book we put out, Judaism, Revelation of Moses? Okay, be sure and read it. You will find out the Pope is not the only man who thinks he's greater than God. Every rabbi does, okay? So, here is their misinterpretation. Verse 14 again, Romans 6. For sin shall not rule over you because you're not under law, but under grace. Now, when you've heard this read, even in the Church of God, they say, well, that doesn't mean you're not to keep the commandments. But they never told you what being under grace was, right? Being under grace means that you have repented, have been baptized, and received the Holy Spirit, and now God is directly, personally involved in your life, and in fact, has made you a temple of God by putting the Spirit of God in you. Now, what is the Spirit of God? It is a spirit of love, of obedience, of faith. And what does it tell us in Hebrews 10 that God is going to do with his laws and commandments? Where's he going to put them? Since his Spirit is in us, where is he going to put his laws and commandments? In our hearts and in our minds. So to be under grace does not remove you from law. It elevates the requirement of the law from obeying in the letter to the Spirit, as Jesus taught. You've heard it said of old, you shall not murder, but I say to you, you shall not hate your brother. You've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, any man who lusts after her has committed adultery already in his mind. So now, the temple of God, with the Spirit of God being our minds, is the place where the laws and commandments of God are there, living and dwelling, because the law is holy, the law is spiritual, and you have the Spirit of God, and you have the Spirit of man, and the law is righteous. Now, we are to be righteous, aren't we? Yes, indeed. Another part of being under grace is that in answering the call of God through repentance and baptism, you have been elected or selected. That means God himself has selected you. So being under grace does not mean that you are free from law. Being under grace does not mean that now you can live a life assuming that God abolished his laws. What did Jesus say about that? Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill, to make it complete. And where is the law complete? Right here, in your heart and in your mind. This is why we pray. This is why we study. This is why we learn the Word of God. Not so that we can ignore it. Not so that we can say, God did away with it. Not so that we can say, I'm free from having to keep that harsh law. Show me one law of God that's harsh. God says it's perfect. Comes from a perfect God. Okay? Now, how does the world look at it? Well, lawlessness will be multiplied. Why? Why does that happen? All right. Who rules this world? Satan the devil. He's the god of this world, and the world is under his power. What is he actively doing right now? Now, we've heard this scripture how many times? Revelation 12:9 says what? He is deceiving, present tense, the whole world. Now, that has to be the end time fulfillment of it, because immediately it goes into the martyrdom of the saints, does it not? Okay. So if it's multiplied, Satan is the author of sin. Look at the world the way that it is today. I couldn't get over it watching the news last night. All of the political lies, all of the commentary lies, all of the killings and shootings. Did you know that they have had 1,200 murders in Chicago this year to date? And now we got to protect our children. Oh, but we don't want the family. Oh, you know, women ought to be able to have freedom of their lives so they can have children and be married to the government and let him be the father. See? Oh, no, we can't tell the teens, don't wait, and preserve your sexual life until marriage. No, no. 12-year-old girls are out there actively on a daily basis involved. There's lying, there's cheating, there's stealing. If you're honest, you're a dope. It's the way they look at it. So we have all this lawlessness. How does that appeal to the carnal mind? How does that appeal to the deceitful mind? Hey, right on. All right. Let's see how all of this comes about. Let's come back here to Proverbs 31. Now, on Thursday, I went over to Randy's, and I've been reading the book of Proverbs that we're putting on a special Proverbs series. And we came to Proverbs 31, so I had him write down several of the references that we're going to cover today that I want to bring with my sermon. Okay? Now, Proverbs 31 and verse 1. Now, we want to read this with a prophetic interpretation as well. All right? The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy which his mother taught him, my son. And what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows, do not give your strength unto women, nor your ways unto that which destroys kings. Now, what are women also prophetically called? Churches, okay? Is it not for kings, O Lemuel, is it not for kings, it is not rather, for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the rights of all of the afflicted. Now let's take those thoughts and let's apply them to Revelation 17. Because here is the religious system that has brought the lawlessness to the world. And this religious system is not the Roman Catholic Church. It is Mother Babylon, of which the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestants, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists are all daughters of Rome. Beg your pardon? Babylon, of which Rome is one of the daughters. All right? And has inherited that. All right? Verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying to me, come here. I will show you the judgment of the great whore. Don't give your strength to women. See, spiritually speaking, who sits upon many waters, and the many waters in verse 15 are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. So you view the world and look what's happening in the world. With whom the kings of the earth, King Lemuel, don't do this, kings of the earth, have committed fornication, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication, and that wine of her fornication is lawlessness. Then he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet beast that had seven heads and 10 horns, full of the names of blasphemy. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and was adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones. And she had a golden cup in her hand filled with the abominations of the filthiness of her fornication. And across her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. So we look out and see lies everywhere. I couldn't believe the news last night. Talked about the murders in Chicago. Talked about all of the boys that were seduced by Sandusky, one of the coaches at Penn State, all the things going on in the schools here. I talked to our teacher who teaches down in South L.A., and it's a total mess. absolute mess. The schools are a mess. The governments are a mess. The churches are in a mess. People are in messes. And now we have a president who's liar-in-chief and lawless captain. He'll go ahead and make his own laws. Let's go on. Let's see what happens when you do that, and you get the population sinning more and more and more and more. Let's see how it progresses. Come over here to Isaiah, the fifth chapter. And remember, whenever you are reading the Bible, there's a reason for everything that has been written and recorded. And it's there for us to learn. And so here in Isaiah, the fifth chapter, it talks about what happens when you build a society on sin. Isaiah, the fifth chapter. All right? Now, the first part of Isaiah 5 talks about where God had Israel and Jerusalem like a vineyard. And he planted it, a fine, wonderful vineyard. And then he came back to get the grapes, and what were there? Wild grapes. So he says, let's pick it up here in verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, and behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, and behold, a cry of distress. Now I want you to think as if you're in a plane flying, and you're flying around the world. And you look at the cities, and you look at the people, and you look what is going on and taking place. So when we read the following verses, think about it, and think of all the trouble that comes because of it. Verse 8, woe to those who join house to house and lay field to field until there is no place left, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. Every big city that is jammed together like that, what do they have? Crime, drugs, murder. Okay? Come down here to verse 11. Now we're going to cover seven woes altogether. Woe number 2. Woe to those who rise up early in the morning to go after strong drink, who continue late into the night while wine inflames them. You can tie in that drunkenness, alcoholism, drugs, all kinds of drugs, prescription drugs, illegal drugs, marijuana, and now here the city of Oakland is fighting the federal government that wants to close down a marijuana medical center because the income from selling the marijuana has become a major part of the income coming to the city of Oakland. See? And as we read some of these things, think for just a minute. You know? Now, I saw what happened to Mitt Romney when he went to talk before the NAACP. And he actually gave a pretty good speech, and it was quite well received. But what should have been said to them and every other organization, Planned Parenthood and AACP, whatever other organization, if you want to solve your problems, you must teach the Ten Commandments of God, and you must have every man married to his own wife, and you all stop your adultery and fornication and homosexuality and all of these kinds of things. And on top of it, I received a report here, which in the Episcopal Church, guess what they're going to do? They are going to clear the way for transgender ministers. One sin leads to another. Lawlessness multiplied. See? And furthermore, you'd have to tell them, you must stop all the gangs. Anyone in a gang, you have one chance to repent. And I think this is what Christ is going to institute when he comes back, if there be any gangs that survive all the things that go on. You have one chance to repent, or it's the end of you. You are executed. No more defiance. See? Now, then it talks about the music. Look at all the rock concerts. Look at all the music that messes up the minds of young people. You know, they have on Fox News, they have this man called Waiter, W-A-T-T-E-R, and he goes around and He has interviews, and he went down to the beaches in Florida and was interviewing the young men and women down there, you know, in their college ages or last part of high school. And they didn't know who the founding fathers were. They did not know anything about anything, but yes, they were down there for fun and games and sex and music and drugs. See? Well, God is going to judge for that. And most church services now are like mini rock concerts. All right, then he says here, let's come over here to verse 18. Woe, so then this is the third woe. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes. Now this means that their whole life's endeavor is to promote sin, which is lawlessness. Who say, let him hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it. Let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near. Come so that we may know. Mockingly, of course, they don't want to know. The next woe. And here's where lawlessness multiplies. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. If that does not characterize most of government and most of the plans of this current administration with their sickness management tax. It's not health care. It's sickness management tax. And I saw two commentators commenting on the lies about Mitt Romney, which are completely unfounded, easily proven, untrue. But both of those women commentators said, well, if it works. See, no sense of right and wrong. No sense of good and evil. That's the same thing that probably got them through college. See? Kids today cheat because they're not taught to do right. Call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What have the religionists done? They've said all 613 laws of Moses are done away completely. Well, they've just judged God, rejected his laws. God's going to judge them. Now here's the next woe. Woe number five. Woe to them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Boy, if that doesn't spell out the government's, that doesn't spell out every interest group. What you're going to see in this coming year, just on the financial stage, you are going to see city after city declare bankruptcy because of the corruptness of the government, the corruptness of those who were in charge, the corruptness and lawlessness of the unions who demanded that we retire at age 50. With 90% pay and 100% health care. And even as one city back in on Long Island, New York, a very expensive place, their health care cost for retired firemen and policemen is $200 million a year. And they have no money. These woes come back. Lawlessness has a penalty. And we are entering into a time of greater and greater and greater lawlessness in the society. And it's getting closer and closer and closer to home because there's so much of it. And think of those who want to legalize, you know, the insanity. The lawless do-gooders, they want to abolish tobacco smoking, but legalize pot smoking. And then there are those who want to legalize drugs. Perfect. Let the Chinese have their revenge for the opium war 200 years ago. Wise in their own eyes. Look at how many great plans people have done. It ended up with nothing. Wise to have renewable energy from corn. Ethanol? Oh, that's wonderful. And as I said years ago, until there's a drought, guess what we have this year? A drought. And guess what they use in almost everything instead of sugar now? High fructose corn syrup. That's going to make the price of everything skyrocket. Seems good. Oh, yes, and then everybody's making money on the backside. Okay. Verse 22. Woe to them who are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, and you can add drugs into that, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Man arrested and put in jail for having church at home. Now, he went a little too far in as much as he had 50 people. But nevertheless, that shows you where it goes. Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona, look what they do to him. So the few that are out there to try and do right, they try and take it away. But vengeance is going to come. Therefore, as fire devours the stubble and flame burns up the chaff, their root shall be like rottenness and their blossom shall go up like dust, because here's why there is lawlessness. They have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And God lays that at the doorstep of every single Protestant minister and Catholic priest that take the name of God and reject his word. And the lawlessness from the pulpits have caused the lawlessness in the land. We'll see that in a bit. They despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. You try telling a Protestant minister, well, you know, you ought to keep the commandments of God. Oh, no, that's that old law. It's been done away. You know, just stop for a minute if you did two columns. The Bible and world Christianity. Okay? The Bible teaches truth, love of God, and Sabbath. Christianity of the world teaches lies, mixture of some truth to distort it, and keep Sunday, a day which God never sanctified. And they call themselves Christians? When a Christian is supposed to be one who follows Christ, who never sinned? And then you take a little sidebar on that, and then the churches of God have become so corrupt in themselves that they run off to the evangelicals and say, what do you believe about grace? And look what's happened. I mean, they ought to read Revelation 2 and 3, because they're doing in degree what is listed here. Despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. So that's how. Let's see what else happens when you do that. Come over here to chapter 10. Now here I'm going to read you an indictment of the business world, the governments, the education, and the churches. Verse 1, Isaiah 10. Here's the seventh woe. Woe to those who decree unrighteous edicts, whatever they are. Now we were talking before services, that the school systems are so bad and the unions are so strong that if a teacher is accused of wrongdoing, the teacher can be relieved of the job, but they go to a special room somewhere in the county, and all of the teachers under that, they just sit there, and while the union is trying to fight out the situation, and they draw their salary, full salary, for as much as 2 or 3 or 4 years, and in New York City, they have 247 teachers that go to this sitting room to be paid over $100,000 a year. See, so it's in everything, religion, education, finance. You know, we were joking about the LIBOR interest rate you probably heard of. And one clerk said, oh, well, that happened. Whoop, I hit the wrong key. And the bank made $1 billion. It's corrupt from head to toe, through and through. See? They turn aside the needy from judgment and to steal the right of the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, that they may rob the orphans. And what will you do in the day of judgment and destruction? Because it's coming. It can't, unless there is a major turnaround in America at this election, it's coming. and be prepared. Everybody's going to be paying 30 to 50% in taxes. You reject God, he rejects you. It affects everybody. In the day of devastation which shall come from afar, to whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? They can do nothing but cringe among the captives or fall among the slaying. All of this his hand, in all of this his hand is not turned away, but his hand is outstretched still. All right, let's come to Isaiah 59. Now, they could come to God. Anyone who will forsake wickedness and come to God, anyone who will repent, God will honor. God is not limited. Look what he did to Joseph when he was taken off into prison. He protected him, watched over him. Okay. Now, Isaiah 59, this is quite a chapter. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities, your lawlessness. Now you see, lawlessness comes in the worst form when they are made, the lawless decrees are made the law of the land, whatever it may be. Now in the so-called Obama tax, they found, how many, what was it, 23 additional taxes within it? Oh, it's not a tax. Tax, 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 tax. No, that's not a tax. I'm reading the word, T-A-X. That's not a tax. I read it 23 times. That's not a tax. See? Your iniquities have come between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. And he will not hear. Now, brethren, you never want to get in a place where God won't hear, but it's going to come for the people in the world. They're going to cry out to God. There won't be any answer. Let's come to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah is quite an indictment. So if you want a real education in Bible study, I've recommended this before, but I'll recommend it now. Read the book of Jeremiah all the way through. Read how God pleaded with the people, pleaded with them. He said, look, I'm going to send you off into captivity. But if you would honor the Sabbath, not work on the Sabbath, just the Sabbath, if you would do that, then I would guarantee that the kings of Judah and Jerusalem will ride on their chariots and horses. But they couldn't do that. And here's exactly what the Protestants have done to the truth of God. Jeremiah 7. Now, Jeremiah wasn't liked. He was hated. He was from the city of Anoth, which was a Levitical city. And the men of Anoth wanted to kill Jeremiah because he told the truth. And he told one false prophet, Hananiah, he said, because you have given this false prophecy in the name of the Lord, and you have caused the people to trust in your words, you're going to die this year. He died. So you see, right now, this nation, and yea, even the churches of God, they're right at a point, they better get serious with God. Because there comes a point of which the tipping point goes too far. And once you're past the tipping point, and it's on the downslide like this, you can't put the brakes on it. Jeremiah 7, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Now think of this. You go back and read all about how the temple was built by Solomon, what David did to provide it. What a wonderful thing it was the day it was dedicated, and the Spirit of God and the Shekinah of God, the cloud, filled the temple, and the priest couldn't even wait on things. The trumpeters were trumpeting, and the singers were singing, and it was a magnificent day. They had 7 days of dedication. Solomon was the chosen one of God, the son of David. They had all of the priests and all of their regalia, all of the soldiers, everything. It was a fantastic thing, and all of Israel had 7 days of dedication. They had so many burnt offerings that they had to put up extra altars for burnt offering so people could eat and rejoice. and be thankful that God was there. And within less than 40 years, Solomon turned his back on God, worshiped other gods, sacrificed to other gods, and the children of Israel rebelled and went back to Egyptian calf worship. So here, the Jews never learned the lesson that they should have from that. Now let's see what they did in the name of the Lord at the house of the Lord, where God put his name and said he would dwell there forever. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, and who enter in at the gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Repent, amend, change, stop. Don't do it any longer. Do not trust in lying words. And people do that. Oh, we're Americans. Oh, we're Israelites. We're standing in the temple of the Lord. Nothing can go wrong at the temple of the Lord. And you read in John the 8th chapter where all the Jews came to hear Jesus. Some who believed in him, but what were they doing? They were following their father, Satan the devil, who was a liar. Do not trust in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord are these. Now listen, everybody that has, you know, a lucky charm, or the Catholics that put the rosary on their rearview mirror, if the temple of the Lord couldn't protect these people, don't think that your lucky superstitious charm is going to protect you or your rosary, because it's an idol. God says, if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So God was extending repentance and mercy to them. But this is what we see every day today, around the world. How'd you like to live in Damascus? Carnage, bloodshed, sickness, disease. And if nothing changes, soon famine, and there will be no corn from America to rescue. Behold, you trust in lying words, see, because lawlessness is exalting lies and replacing the word of God with those lies. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. And who is the mother of harlots and abominations? Babylon the Great, that whole system, religious, governmental, and financial. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Now think about what's happened to America just this year, not counting what's happened leading up to it. We've had floods, we've had drought, we've had fire, now we're going to have floods. Think of all of those people who lived in those beautiful communities up in Colorado. Oh, it's so wonderful we have our house out here in this beautiful, and smell the fresh air, and smell the pines. Oh, it's so great to live here, but none of them honor God. Now their houses are ashes and dust, so it can come very quickly. It's amazing how these things come. Okay, well, let's take a short break. Sorry I ran over time.